the show today, we are talking with the fabulous people from Will and Abel, a heartwarming tale that you're going to need to get ready to order some products and support them. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along to another Monday. If you're tuning in live, it's a beautiful day here in Auckland. In fact, it was so sunny outside, we struggled to come into the studio. It was just so beautiful. Of course, if you're listening on podcast, who knows what the weather is today. I can't help you with that one, but thanks for tuning in anyway as we continue mixing it up with property, investment and leadership. And today is a little bit of a mix of everything because these guys have got something that can help your property for sure, but a bit of a heartwarming tale from a fabulous company doing awesome work in New Zealand. So I would like to welcome Kate O'Leary, the CEO of Will and Abel, to the show. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you, Stephen. Thanks very much for having me.
It's great to have you here. And look, I've seen firsthand your company, your products. I'm a regular purchaser of your products. Your Will and Abel family are all over my house in different places, and that'll make sense a little later in the interview. So it's really cool to have you come in today. But look, before we even sort of talk about Will and Abel, just let's talk a little bit about you first. Who is Kate and what's been your career journey?
Well, my career journey has been fairly long, not really a young buck anymore. So how much time have we got? Only 45 minutes. I have done a lot of things. I think you described my career journey as being a bit squiggly, in terms of a squiggly line.
Squiggly, all right.
I have been with Will and Abel for 18 months in this role, but before that I trained initially when I first came out of school and uni. I trained as a lawyer and worked as a lawyer for about 6 years here in Auckland and also over in New York. And then I made a change, wanted to get more into business orientated work, so I ended up switching from law into management consulting and worked in management consulting in Auckland and also in Australia with McKinsey & Company. And then wanted to get even closer to business, having a bit of an entrepreneurial family background. My parents had a food company called Wild Appetite, which made preserves and jams. So I said to them, at the time I was living in Australia, I said, how about I join the business? And so I launched the Australian arm of Wild Appetite over there, and had a great time starting that business and growing it in Australia. Luckily, with my parents across the ditch, because I think if anybody's worked in a family business, there are a lot of dynamics there that are very interesting. It was good that we had a big body of water between us. And while I was doing that, I also launched another business called Urban Thirst, which was a business creating and distributing cocktail mixes around Australia and New Zealand. And that was probably born out of my experience. When they say if you want to start a business, you should find a problem that you want to solve for yourself and then solve it and then, monetize it.
Well, didn't they do the amazing lemon and honey drinks as well, Urban Thirst?
Wild Appetite would have done something like that, but we did cocktails.
Right.
And I loved cocktails.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was frustrated by the fact we didn't, going out and buying a cocktail is expensive, so I created a mix for making cocktails at home. I did that for 8 to 10 years, those two companies in Australia. And during that period, met my husband. We had two beautiful children, and we decided to return to New Zealand to bring up our kids as Kiwi kids. So we sold up in Australia and came back here, and had a bit of time off, and then launched a furniture importing and retail business, which wasn't as successful as I liked, so I shut that down and then did some independent directorships with various companies, Ceres Organics and a few others. And then most recently worked as a CEO of a vitamin and supplement company. And then after the pandemic, my family and I decided we were going to spend a year living in Italy, so we dropped everything and took the kids out of school and put them in school in Italy. And then when I came back from that year in the beginning of 2024, I really wanted to do something that had more of a social impact. And so I looked around for a role that had that, and after a bit of looking, the Will and Able CEO role was advertised, and I applied for it, thinking I knew what I was getting myself into, thinking it was a company that just sold eco-cleaning products, which is what you were referring to earlier, only to discover it was so much more than that. So that's kind of where I've ended up. Where I am today.
So, tell us, what and who is Will and Able?
So, Will and Able is this amazing organisation that has been around for over 60 years, and it exists solely to provide employment to people with neurodivergence and mental health challenges who wouldn't otherwise be able to get a job in what we call open employment. So, we have this incredible group of people who work with us. We have about 127, and I know that because I'm doing my board reports at the moment, 127 employees with different abilities currently working for us, and then some others who we wrap around and support them in their jobs. So,
brilliant. And Will and Able wasn't their original name?
No.
Wasn't it? So you said 60 years
yes.
they've been running.
Yep.
What did they originally came out at?
So from the very beginning, back in the 1960s, we were the Auckland Sheltered Workshop and Training Centre, and we had 8 people that we started with, and that was all funded through donations from public and corporates. And over the period of 60 odd years, it's gone through a number of iterations in terms of the name. Most recently, up until mid 2024, it was known as Altus Enterprises, but Will and Able itself actually started as a subsidiary of Altus Enterprises in 2020, and that was when they decided to launch the eco cleaning range.
Right. We'll unpack shortly all the different things that you do at Will and Able. The inspiration behind setting this up originally?
The whole bit 60 years ago?
So it was
sort of driven out of the changes that, from what I understand, in the, you know, early half of the last century, people with neurodivergence and intellectual disabilities were sort of packed off to adult daycares and sort of not really given any rights, where they were doing work but not really getting very many rights. So in the mid 20th century, 1950s, 1960s, 20th century, they changed the legislation and started recognising that people, no matter what their ability, should, if they're working, they should be getting holidays and sick leave and so forth. And so out of that, the Sheltered Workshops were created, and that's when Will and Able was originally set up. And I think I've forgotten what your original question was.
No, that's cool. It's the inspiration behind it, yeah.
So it was driven by that. And a particular gentleman who wanted to really create opportunities for people with disabilities, recognising that with the right support and the right training and the right, you know, wraparound, that they could be just as productive and fulfilled in a job as other people could be.
Brilliant. When we talk about disability and neurodiversity, can you unpack that term, neurodiversity? And I guess what sort of challenges do the team face on a personal day-to-day basis if you are neurodiverse?
It's a very interesting term because it's become quite a lot more popular in recent times. But the way that we look at it is that you have to think of neurodiversity as an umbrella. Everybody is neurodiverse.
Right.
I'm different to you and you're different to me. And so everybody sits somewhere in that umbrella term of neurodiversity. Most people sitting in that, if you think of an umbrella, or a bell curve, sit within the large part of the bell curve and are what's known as neurotypical. On the outside of the bell curve or the edges of the umbrella, you have the people who are considered neurodivergent. And that tends to be people with on the autism spectrum, with ADHD, with learning differences, with other cognitive variations. And they're the people that we try and help because open employment, a normal job that you and I and other people might have, it doesn't really, or hasn't typically in the past, taken into account those differences and accepted that those differences lead to different requirements. So some of the challenges that our people, I mean, we have, as I said, 127 people working for us currently. A couple of them work full-time, but the majority of them work part-time hours. They all work a shorter day because they're not necessarily able to work a longer day. So on average, our guys work a 6.75 hour day instead of an 8 hour day. And a lot of the differences are things like difficulty with communication, difficulty with understanding or comprehension of instructions. They might have sight issues or sensory sensitivities. They might have anxiety in new environments or different environments, or when change is required. They can't keep up with the fast pace that a lot of us are required to keep up with in our day-to-day job. They might have difficulty maintaining focus. Some of them love routine. Some of them find routine challenging. Ah. We have 250 different conditions out of 127 people. So that's a lot of managing.
Wow, absolutely. I imagine your support staff, your team that work there on a full-time basis,
Amazing.
Yeah, and what a joy, though, to work with these people.
That's probably one of the things I love most about the role, is that, you know, everybody who works here with a different ability is just so happy to be there. And you see what being in a job and being productive and being part of a team, being part of a recognised national brand, the pride that gives them, it's amazing and heartwarming.
It's a lovely segue to my next question, was how important is Will Enable to them? Because I bet it's not just about a salary or a career, but it's all that social interaction. It's getting them out of the home. It is getting them into some routines. And you're ticking so many boxes.
Yeah, I think you've just answered the question for me.
Excellent.
But no, that's right. I mean, I think that if you think about it, the income is the least important part. There are benefits and payment and supported living payments and the like that people with disabilities who are more than 6 months out of work can get easily, or more easily than others. But it's, so the money aspect of it is not the important part. It's the connection. It's the communicate, you know, the friendships that develop, the relationships that develop. It's the having the purpose. A lot of people have said to us, you know, that if they didn't come to work at Will Enable, they would just sit at home playing PlayStation or staring out the window all day, and that's not good for anybody. There's a real sense of pride being a part of something bigger. We all know that, right? You know, when the first question you get when you go to a new social setting is, so what do you do as a job?
Well, where do you work?
And then suddenly when you say I work for so-and-so, you know, there's a connection and there's something you can talk about. And so it's all of that. And I think also, you know, it's not just the people that work for us, it's their wider funnel. So their caregivers and the people that would otherwise have a lot more of an obligation, and the impact that has in constraining their lives when they have to look after somebody who needs higher care or higher attention. So there's a ripple effect that goes beyond just the employer.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Giving their carers that space in the day to breathe as well, so that they can be more attentive when they come home.
And there's physical independence, and they learn new skills. And you know, the comments we get from the caregivers and the family members about how their child has blossomed coming and working, and how they can do things. And some of them, you know, are living by themselves or flatting with other co-workers.
That's
and
cool.
You know, just things that they never would have thought they'd be able to do.
Love it. So unpack your role for me as CEO. What sort of things are you looking after at Will Enable?
So as CEO, I guess my job is to look to the future and make sure that we are strategically thinking about what we can do to continue to grow jobs. So my KPI as CEO, my sole KPI really is to create more jobs, which is amazing. It's amazing to be in a role where you're not driven necessarily by the bottom line, you're driven by how do we create more jobs for people who need them. And that's quite different to a lot of companies, because most companies would say, go get the work and then find the job, the people to do the work. Whereas we have, go get the people and then find the work to do, to fulfill the people. So it flips around. So I look at what we want to achieve over the next 5 years. And for that, we currently have 127 people employed. We want to reach 300 people by 2030, which, you know, is a very, It sounds, on one hand, as a big goal, because it's sort of 20% year-on-year growth that we need to do, almost doubling our revenue to get to that number of jobs. But on the other hand, it's a small drop in the ocean of the help that is needed and the jobs that need to be created for people who need work.
So how have you grown over the years as a company? And I know COVID played a big impact.
Yeah. So what we've traditionally done has been service, B2B services. So our guys are really good at manual repetitive tasks. And so that's what we've done. If you look back at the early videos from the 1960s, you'll see our guys hammering together old Coca-Cola crates, or sticking, you know, with a paintbrush and a bottle of glue, gluing a label on a bottle. We kind of do that same thing now, but just the modern version of it. So it's adhesive barcode that we're sticking on something, or, you know, we're putting together a mixed pack of beer for a beer company that's, you know, or something like that. But so services has been what we've done traditionally. Most people know our name though through the Eco Cleaning products range. So we have, we launched that in 2020. We have a lot of work that comes through from Air New Zealand. We clean Air New Zealand's headsets, and that is something that obviously was affected quite dramatically when COVID hit. And we actually employed just over 200 people before COVID, and with the COVID impact and planes not flying, we had to make 100 people redundant at the time. And so we're still trying to build back up. But the Will and Able cleaning products range was born as a desire to sort of be in charge of our own destiny and not necessarily depend upon other things. And so they decided to launch. I wasn't part of the business at the time, so I can't take any credit for it. The guys did an amazing job choosing the range of cleaning products and launching that. And so that is one of the things we've done. But now we kind of just have the two business divisions, the cleaning products and the B2B services, and then we've just launched a cleaning service division, which we're very excited about.
We'll unpack that shortly. So going back to your cleaning products, which are available in supermarkets and online, and I'm a great fan. My daughter's got your starter packs as Christmas presents because it's like you're flatting. So
amazing.
If you've got people flatting, it's such a cool present. And it's so affordable. Talk us through some of the products that you do have in your cleaning side, because they could be used for domestic but also in commercial office settings and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do bulk products for specifically for commercial. So our biggest sellers are our multi-purpose spray, toilet cleaner, dishwash powder, and laundry liquids. And we also have some other products like rinse aid and glass cleaner and the like, and hand soap. But they would be our top four products. And we also sell we sell them in different sizes. We have what I'd call the consumer home size, which you can buy online direct from us, or you can buy it through supermarkets. And if your supermarket doesn't have it, please ask for it, because consumer demand helps drive our ranging. Or, as you mentioned, if you are a business, we do sell 5-litre and 20-litre size products, or if you're just, you know, very sustainability minded and want to buy bulk instead of buying lots of small packaging, then you can. We also, though, offer a closed loop system so that if you buy something, a product from us, and when the product is empty, you can return the packaging to us and we will wash it and reuse it.
Yeah, so I was going to talk about that. You've got a strong focus on sustainability, both in the product itself and the packaging. Why is this important to your Will and Able brand?
Well, I think sustainability is just inherent in our values. I think it goes hand in hand with looking after people is looking after planet. And you can't really separate the two. So for us, it helps us, it reflects our values and it helps us create meaningful work for our team as well. Because if we offer something like a closed loop program for our packaging, it actually creates work for our team in terms of doing the washing and refilling of the products.
Brilliant. Now, I said at the start of the show that I literally have the faces of your team in my house, so we'll probably need to explain that because it did sound a bit stalkerish. So your products have the most amazing labels.
Yes. They feature our people.
Yeah, I love it.
It's very unique. You wouldn't see that on any other product, I don't think, in the supermarket. You don't see any other social impact brands in the supermarket anyway. But one of the things that I love about the people on our packaging is how it makes it so relatable to others out there. So one of the things that I did when I started as CEO is we did a survey out to our database of 22,000 people and asked them, what does the Will and Able brand mean to you? And I got a huge number of responses, and one of the responses I got was from a grandmother who said that when she took her 6-year-old Down syndrome grandson shopping with her and he saw the bottle with Izzy, one of our team members, on the packaging, and she's got Down syndrome, he would pick it up and hug it. And I know, I know. I was, there's a bit of tears going on here in the studio. Honestly, I spend the weekend reading all these stories from the people that buy our products, and I did have tears, you know, streaming down my cheeks because there were so many stories like that.
But it's also, for me as a consumer, and clever in this sense, business-wise, is when I'm coming to the end of the product, I feel like I need to honour them and purchase it again. It's a great product, it works well, but also it feels personal. And I'd actually feel really bad now buying another brand. But that's great, because they've put themselves out there. They've given you permission, obviously, to have their faces on the products.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that. It feels like a real personal connection. It's also a great conversation piece when you have visitors over, because they always ask, because they can see the toilet cleaner beside the toilet, they see the hand soap. They're like, what does this Will enable? And it's a great story to share.
Yeah, it is. And I think you're absolutely right. It's kind of like this whole concept of micro-gifting. And I don't know if you've heard about that in terms of how brands are now looking, or social enterprises are now looking to, you know, create revenue or funds to do something. And that's that micro-gifting concept where instead of, you know, being asked to donate a big amount of money, you know, to a charity, instead you can buy something and a small portion of that purchase goes to the charity, so that you're getting something that's useful for you, like your multi-purpose spray, which you'd buy anyway, but a small portion of it, you know, is going to be going to do something good. And so for us, it's twofold, because not only does a little bit of that revenue go to fund, you know, our operations, but more importantly, it's also giving somebody a job.
So all our business leaders listening to our show need to think about their own office supplies, gifts. I know that you've got a good relationship with Barfoot and Thompson, and many of their property managers use your starter packs as tenant gifts.
Yep.
Have you done the numbers on sort of how many products you need to keep selling to grow how many staff you can bring on board?
We haven't done it specifically with respect to the product range. We've, we'd love to be a $10 million product, $30 million, you know, take on Echo Store or one of those big guys. So I guess for us, it's just really important for you anybody listening to go out, please, and buy our products. Buy them online on willenable.co.nz or in the supermarkets. And if your supermarkets don't have them, like I say, ask for them. Because it does create work, and that is the most important thing. And I think, well, that's the most important thing. But the other important thing for me is the way that the products and the pictures of our people on the products start normalizing people with disabilities in every environment. Yeah, yeah. And that's what's really important for us as a society, is to make sure that everyone is valued and feels valued, no matter what their ability is.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned before you've recently started a new cleaning arm, so physical cleaning, not just the products, to your business, and you're going out and doing end of tenancy cleans or business workplace cleaning.
Yes.
Talk us through that one.
Well, it is super exciting because about almost 18 months ago when I started, I got together with the team when I was just new, and I said, what can we be doing to grow the business, and how can we look at the Will Enable brand and look at what we can extend it into, you know, into. And so, you know, obviously a very logical extension is anything to do with cleaning, because we've built the Will Enable brand up as a cleaning brand. And so we started talking about how we could do different types of cleaning services, and we threw around the idea of, you know, car cleaning. There's a very successful business in the States, which was started by a father of an autistic child who set up now three or four car cleaning businesses, which only hire autistic people. And then obviously there's cleaning of premises. And that's also something that a lot of businesses like ours, or organisations like ours around the world, actually offer, but nobody in New Zealand offers it. So no organisation like ours, that just employs people with neurodivergency, offers it. So we were talking about how do we achieve that, and then we got this amazing call from Barford and Thompson, who said, why can't we do something together? And they offered us the opportunity to work with them on exit cleans and potentially office cleans. And that's perfect for our guys, because it's a new service for us, so we're learning. And, you know, the idea of going into somebody's house when it's full of their stuff is a little bit daunting for us at the beginning, because we don't want to do any damage. And so exit cleans are perfect because the building's empty.
Yeah.
And so our guys can go in, they can do an amazing job, clean everything, learn new skills. And this is one of the things I love about it as well, is that it's creating, it's enabling us to teach life skills. Hmm. So cleaning is not just a job, it's a life skill. I wish my kids would learn. but, you know, so that's, and that's one of the things we aim for at Will Enable, is also to teach life skills that are transferable outside of the work environment. So it's a really great opportunity from that perspective.
And I guess cleaning offices and things, while there's still furniture around, it's the end of the day or evenings, and people have left, they can, your team can do their thing and mix with themselves and have a bit of fun while they're doing it, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. And even though there's stuff, it's not emotional stuff, you know. So if you actually, you know, knock something off and accidentally break it, which we wouldn't do and we haven't done, it doesn't really matter so much. Whereas if you're in a home and you potentially did that to some, which has happened to me with cleaners in the past, where I've had damage and it's been upsetting in your home, but in an office environment it's less so.
Absolutely. How do you see this developing? Like, is this something that you plan to roll out nationally? Are you involved with any other cleaning organisations or institutions? Like, where do you see this going?
Oh, there is so much opportunity, Stephen. It's almost, it's too exciting for me, and I have to hold myself back, because I'm kind of one of those people that just want to go, and then I forget that other people have to actually implement what I want them to do. And so I'm lucky I've got an amazing team, you know, behind me to help me with that. But yes, nationally, we would love to see it go nationally. So obviously we've just started working with Barford and Thompson, and we have to build up our skills and our capabilities. In fact, we're just at the moment looking for, we've found the perfect person to actually help us run that side of it. But we would like it to go nationally, and there's about 13 other organisations like Will Enable around the country, and so we've sort of talked to them and said, how would you feel in the future about this? If we were to roll it out to you, would you like to, say, in Christchurch or Palmerston North or wherever, would you be interested in sort of being the, almost like not the franchisee, but the licensee for the brand and the cleaning as service part of it in your city. And they've been really interested in that idea. So that's something we will do in the future. And we'd also like to somehow create the opportunity for families with kids that have disabilities to actually have their own business under our umbrella.
Oh,
and I'm not
cold.
Quite sure how that
Look. Like the old, you know, Jim's Mowing and Jim's Cleaning,
yes,
those sort of franchise where you give them the tools, the business training, the background training, but they can be themselves and be their own boss.
Yeah,
how cool.
I actually, because we get a lot of calls from outside of Auckland or even within Auckland where people are saying, I've got a son who is leaving school. What can he do? And we can't help them because we aren't set up in those areas. But if we can create some kind of business model where we can say, here's a business in a box and we'll support you and we won't make money off of you, but we will help you set this up and run it. And that gives people the ability to actually have, you know, their own self-determination, which is one of the important things about what we want to achieve for the people that work for us.
Brilliant. Love it. I got an amazing call from my daughter on the weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Speaking of cleaning.
Oh, yeah?
She rang me up and she said, Dad, you're not going to believe this.
She cleans?
She's in an apartment in a uni complex.
Yes.
Oh, she is a clean freak. It's amazing. She gets that from her mother and not her father. And she said they came through and did their inspection and they wrote to her and said, could she come to reception? She thought she was in big trouble. She came down there and went, can we take photos of your entire room to use as examples of how to clean a uni room? They said it was so spotless. And everything was colour-coordinated pink. She was like, yeah. We didn't expect to open and find pink light bulbs, pink this, pink that. And you had music automatically playing when we walked in the door. And she was like, mm-hmm.
The smell of walking.
Yeah, absolutely, everything.
Cookies.
And I did crack up because it definitely wasn't like a room at home back here. So, you know, perhaps a year on Will Enable products helped get her into the right year
and
for it.
And if she's looking for some part-time work, she could come and be a team leader
for one of our crews. Absolutely. Your team would love to rock the pink.
God, we would.
Now, thinking of Will Enable as a whole now, what are your sort of long-term goals and how can companies and business leaders listening to this show support you?
So, as I mentioned to you earlier, we've got a 5-year goal of hitting 300 employees with disabilities by 2030. And the key ways in which we want to do that is through, obviously, the sale of our cleaning products, the growth and development of our cleaning service range, So if you need cleaning done, you can hop on our website. We have a tab up there where you can have in the menu and you can choose cleaning and you can send some cleaning our way. If you're a business owner or involved in business, then we would love to chat to you about B2B services. So we do a number of different services. We can build things for you like gift bags or promotional items. We can rework stuff if you have product that's come in from overseas that's been printed wrong and you need something to be stuck over the top or relabeled. We can do all of that.
I love when I came out and saw them just changing packaging because it had been wrapped like for Christmas or something and now it was going into its next, the product was going into just a simple different packaging.
Absolutely.
That was an awesome idea.
Yeah, we can do all of that.
Yeah.
We do some cool things like we actually bend PVC pipes for Marley in hot oil, which is crazy, but it works really well. And one area we're really focusing on is a circular economy. So we've spent some time looking at where manual work is likely to grow in the future and it really is in that whole concept of the circular economy where the idea is to take a product and make it circular so it can be reused again. But a lot of the problem at the moment is that products actually aren't designed to be circular, so there's a manual step involved in creating that circularity, and that's awesome for us.
Right.
So we've just started recycling golf balls with Golf Ball Recycling NZ Limited, which is great. They're trying to make golf circular, and we're doing lots of sort of sorting of waste into different waste streams. We refurbish items, not just headsets, but electricity meters. And so if there's anything that you think needs manual touch, to move it to a different state, then contact us and we'll see if we can do it or not.
Brilliant. Now, if someone's listening and thinks that they have a family member, perhaps, that would benefit to be a staff member of yours, I know you said, you know, you're at your capacity presently, but how do they reach out and say, hey, can we send a CV in, or, you know, what's involved?
Yeah, so absolutely. There's, again, on our website, willenable.co.nz, there is a jobs menu item. So if you go to that, you can find an inquiry form and you can fill that out and contact us. We also work closely with schools. So we're working with about 11 schools at the moment doing work experience with guys with neurodivergency. So they come and they spend some time working with us to get used to the environment and see if they like us and or if they would like to go and work somewhere else. But, you know, so that's another option.
That's cool.
If your child is still at school, then talk to your school because they might already have a relationship with us.
Great. Now, last year, your daughter made news headlines as an entrepreneur herself, and I actually purchased her product without knowing the connection to you or Will Enable till I came along and did a tour of Will Enable and saw her product sitting there. So tell us a little bit about your daughter and what product she's offering.
Well, it's very kind of you to ask. She's I'm very proud of Lila. Lila has started a social enterprise called Water Us, and Water Us sells toilet paper to direct to consumers through her website, which is waterus.nz. And the reason she did that is she really wants to create more drinking fountains in parks and playgrounds around New Zealand. And this came from a trip that we had overseas when she was about 9. And she could see in Europe there were a whole lot of drinking fountains in cities. And she said to me, Mum, why isn't that the case in New Zealand? And she came back and she did a bit of research and she found out that only 5% of our parks have water drinking fountains and only 16% of our playgrounds. So you're not incentivized to take along a reusable bottle and fill up your bottle. You're incentivized really to go and buy water or sugary drinks. And Lila's incredibly passionate about the environment and the ocean, and she just did not want plastic going into our environment or our ocean. So she decided she would take matters into her own hand, and she launched Water Us in 2020. And at the time, as you all know, toilet paper was a hot topic and a hot commodity.
Yes.
And so she decided to launch a sustainable toilet paper brand. So she did. She launched it on Pledge Me. She raised about $35,000 to launch the brand and buy her first container of toilet paper. And the toilet paper is all eco-friendly. It's bamboo. It's wrapped in paper. There's no plastic used anywhere. And the designs are amazing.
It's the styliest toilet paper you can have sitting in your bathroom.
I know, yeah. Right? We were so lucky. Reuben Patterson, who's a well-known New Zealand Māori artist, designed the covers for her toilet paper. And they're beautiful, so they're, you know, almost too beautiful to use, actually. In fact, that's part of the reason she did it, because she wanted people to take the paper and reuse it for wrapping paper and things like that.
That's very cool.
So, yeah, that's Lila. She's installed her first two fountains last year.
That's awesome. It's a great story. So go and support her as well, as well as Will Enable. Where do we head to buy our toilet paper?
Waterus.nz.
Now, we're nearly out of time, but looking back on your career journey, what are you loving the most about Will Enable? What's ticking the bucket or filling the bucket for you?
It's just the people. You know, it's just, I don't want to appropriate a saying, but it's the people, it's the people. And it really, it is, because when you walk in the door and you see the impact that you have and you hear the stories and you see how much it means for people to have a job, something that we often take for granted, it just makes it all worthwhile, really.
What would you say is your biggest challenge as CEO?
Maybe not my biggest challenge, but my biggest sense of responsibility is making sure I set this up for the next 60 years. I feel an incredible sense of responsibility to do that and make sure that we create, over the next few years, a really strong base, because I think there's going to be a lot of change in the world over the next 60 years. And I know that the number of people who we can help is just, who we have to be able to help, is just increasing. There's a wave of neurodivergents coming out of schools. There's a wave of mental health problems coming out of schools. And it's organisations like Will Enable that need to be there to help them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so if you're listening, there's a few ways that you can help. If you're a company or business leader or manager and think about them as a cleaning service or cleaning products, home consumers, jump online, get in touch and purchase some of their fabulous cleaning products, or as Kate said, head to your supermarket, and if it's not there, ask why not. Also, though, if you are a tenant and you're thinking about moving, and that awkward thing of a tenancy clean when you just want to get to your new place, you're all excited but you've got the old place to clean, contact Will Enable. They'll come and do the clean for you and do a fabulous job. And of course, your B2B services, then, you know, coming in, and if you've got a product that needs a little bit of reworking or anything in that space or packaging, get in touch. Where do they head to find out more?
Willandable.co.nz.
Nice and easy. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I know for our listeners it's a bit off the investment track, but, you know, good people doing good things need some airtime. Exactly, exactly.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone. That's us for another week. We'll be back next week to talk something different yet again. Remember, you can download all our podcasts from all your favourite podcast sites. Have a fabulous week. Drive safe. We'll catch you next week. Take care.